things you don't really need to know, but probably should. I'm Ciara Revan, and this is the Sunday 7.
On this week's Sunday 7, we hear the latest on vaccine technology. Will Guyatt does a deep dive into data breaches. We get what might be good news on the Amazon rainforest and hear about the risks to pregnant women from extreme heat. But first, on this day in 1960, the world's inaugural two-way telephone conversation by satellite took place. It was made possible by the use of a satellite balloon known as Echo 1. Since World War I, Porton Down, near the picturesque town of Salisbury in Wiltshire, has been one of the British government's most important secret locations. It's there that the Ministry of Defence has its Defence Science and Technology Centre, which surely is full of James Bond-esque gadgets, and the UK Health Security Agency's research facility. Salisbury also became famous as the site of a Russian chemical weapons attack on British soil, as former double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia were poisoned by the Novichok nerve agent. Porton Down still does a lot of important national security work, and today we're hearing about a team of 200 scientists from the Health Security Agency who are busy working on a new vaccine against mysterious disease X. They've created a list of animal viruses most likely to jump species and spread across the world, and head of the UK HSA says they're building on some of the lessons learned from the COVID pandemic. Professor Dame Jenny Harries is the head of the HSA and says that being prepared for whatever comes next is critical.
The laboratories here has 2,800 square metres of investment through the Vaccine Task Force, through the UK government during COVID. And so what we're trying to do now is capture that really excellent work from COVID and make sure we're using that as we go forward for any new pandemic threats.
But how likely are we to actually see another pandemic in our lifetimes? Chair of the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, Professor Andrew Pollard, says that it's definitely something that we need to be prepared for.
Worryingly, it's very likely that there will be future pandemics. Of course, it's impossible to say exactly when that might happen, but the circumstances that we see in front of us make it more likely. We're currently at about 8 billion people on the planet, and over the next 30 years or so, we're going to move to more than 10 billion. So that does mean that over the course of the years ahead, it becomes actually increasingly likely there will be further pandemics.
We've heard a lot recently about global warming, and we've seen historic heatwaves grip both Southern Europe and the United States. And if things continue the way they are, it seems that extreme heat is something that we're going to have to learn to cope with. But what are the risks associated with that kind of heat? And do they affect some people more severely? One of the areas where there's relatively little research is on pregnant women. They're usually excluded from general studies for ethical reasons, but evidence from California suggests that extreme heat may have a negative effect on the maternity process. Professor Kevin Sinclair is a professor of developmental biology at the University of Nottingham School of Biosciences, and he thinks it's time that the effect of heat stress on DNA be examined more closely. He's on the line to tell us more. So what kind of impact do we think that this extreme heat is having?
Women that are in later stages of pregnancy obviously feel very hot anyway, and so they're very sort of sensitive to elevated temperatures. But in actual fact, the earliest stages of pregnancy, that is just before, around, and around the time of conception, and for the first couple of weeks after conception, this is the stage of human development which is most vulnerable to external environmental factors, and that includes elevated temperatures. And we know that from studies that have been done in animals, but also some studies that have been carried out in humans, that there's an increased risk of early pregnancy failure due to acute heat stress during that stage of pregnancy.
I understand that you're looking at the possible effects on the babies and even the next generation. Could you tell me a bit about that?
So that's a little bit speculative at this stage. There isn't any hard evidence to support that. However, there are other situations where there is evidence that events that occur around the time of conception, and that could be parental malnutrition, so that could be poor diet on the part of the mother, but also poor diet on the part of the father, that can have a long-term effect in terms of the health of the child, of the offspring, but also potentially of the grandchildren. Also, other environmental factors like exposure to environmental chemicals such as alcohol consumption and cigarette smoking during early pregnancy. These are other factors that have known to have sort of longer term effects.
With ill health, what kind of effects might we be looking at?
So What we're looking at is a group of illnesses which are often referred to as non-communicable diseases. And these are illnesses like hypertension, high blood pressure, which can increase the risk of having coronary heart disease or a coronary event. Also, insulin resistance, which is predisposed to type 2 diabetes or non-insulin dependent diabetes. There's also issues around renal function as well. So these are all diseases which are non-communicable. They're not passed on from one individual to another, but they are, you know, can be affected by lifestyle. But there's strong evidence that also how you developed as a baby can predispose you to some of these disorders in later life.
I'd imagine there'll be mothers around the world who are concerned about this. Is the research also looking at ways individuals can mitigate the risk?
As a consequence of the work that we've been doing, we're hoping, you know, one of the things we can do is we can, from looking at some of the differences in gene expression that we might actually see in some of the work that we're doing, we might be able to map that to other species that are better adapted to hotter climates than we are ourselves. But there's also quite a lot of variation among humans as well, because obviously there's people that live in hot, arid areas or humid conditions. And so they're likely to be better adapted to those conditions than those of us that live in sort of more temperate conditions like in here in the UK.
And what are the aims of the study?
We're really trying to get a proper understanding of what is actually going wrong at the cellular level. The embryo, we know that the early embryo is very vulnerable to heat. So we're trying to sort of get a better handle on what's actually going wrong and what actually we might be able to do, you know, to assist people during these difficult periods of elevated temperatures.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, there's some good news for the Amazon rainforest and the Dublin University digs deep for energy. It's easy to become gloomy about the continual drumbeat of bad news about climate change and global warming, but there are some good news stories out there. New research using Google AI's technology has led to a promising result in terms of aircraft pollution, with predictive technology enabling pilots to choose routes that will create less contrails. Those trails across the sky, so beloved of conspiracy theorists, are actually pretty major contributors to atmospheric pollution, so it's good news that better route planning could reduce their impact. There was good news this week for the Amazon rainforest. The world's most critical carbon sink has been under massive pressure from deforestation, but since Brazil's change of leadership, the pace of damage has slowed. This week saw 8 South American countries gather to focus on what the best next steps to protect the rainforest might be. Brazil's Foreign Minister Mauro Vieira says that the new alliance can have a real impact.
It will not divide the region. There has been an agreement, and in the end, there has been an understanding on the issue of deforestation.
Christian Samper, Managing Director of the Bezos Earth Fund, says it's a really important step made possible by Brazil's new president.
Well, certainly President Lula has made environmental issues one of his top priorities, and he has pledged to stop deforestation in the Amazon by 2030. I just had an opportunity to review the preliminary data for the first 6 months in office, and the early results are very encouraging, with the rate of deforestation in the Amazon down by more than 40%.
Dublin University campus is digging deep to make a difference in the way they power their campus. The Technological University of Dublin is based at a former mental hospital on the south side of Dublin City, a place called Grange Gorman. And they've engaged in a project to try and power the facilities on campus using geothermal energy. So they've bored a kilometre into the Earth's surface to tap into a natural energy hotspot. Mark Geraghty is the Environmental and Sustainability Manager at TU Dublin, and he says the discovery of a natural hotspot beneath campus has huge potential.
If we find water, that would be the holy grail. We would have heat that would run our systems and manage to decarbonize our buildings completely. If we don't find water, we could still use a closed system whereby a liquid would be put down through our different boreholes. That heat is gathered at a kilometre or 2 kilometre depth, and that heat would come up to help service our borders.
It could cost up to €14 million to complete the boring project, but the aim is for the university to cut its greenhouse gas emissions by up to 50%. A Minister for the Environment, Eamon Ryan, is enthusiastic.
It's consistent, reliable. Once you've built the original drill hole and pumping equipment to get the hot water out, it runs for 60 years. It doesn't stop.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, Will Guy dives into data breaches and we meet an AI music producer.
Right after this.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back.
We hear a lot about AI on the Sunday 7, whether it's used as an analytics tool for airlines or to help diagnose cancers in radiology, but it's a versatile tool that can be used in many ways. The creative industries are the most wary about AI and what it might mean for creators. With concerns about AI, one of the primary issues behind the current writers and actors strikes in Hollywood. It's not all negativity though, with some creative individuals starting to put AI to new uses in creating interesting and different cultural experiences. Eclipse Nikalski is a Nigerian music producer who has been using artificial intelligence to generate new Afrobeats album, including a virtual performer called Maya Blue.
When it comes to AI and music, one of the biggest things it does is that for people who are music-minded but don't necessarily have the skill set or the talent in quotes, so you can't really sing but you understand music, you know what good music sounds like, you have a fair chance of actually creating music that matters. And that's a new kind of artist. And I think that this doesn't take away from what other people are doing. What it's doing is empowering even more people.
Every week on the Sunday 7, we catch up with our resident tech guru, Will Guyot. And this week, Will has been nosing around the exciting world of data breaches. So what's been going on, Will?
It's been a really interesting week for the world of data breaches, because we've had two that have been labelled as data breaches, and they're quite different. The first one is in Northern Ireland, where something called a Freedom of Information request has led to the names and many details of all people employed by the police in Northern Ireland. So around 10,000 names and details were inadvertently leaked in an Excel document. And the other one was the Electoral Commission, saying that everybody on the electoral roll in the UK, around 40 million people, have had their details essentially seen and taken by a as yet unspecified group or country.
It's quite concerning that it's an unspecified group or country. How is this stuff still happening?
These data breaches are going to become more common. You're going to have these issues. It hasn't been disclosed yet whether or not it was a crime group or a foreign country. These sorts of things will continue to happen though, because our data and personal information is incredibly interesting to people and is incredibly valuable too. So increasingly, I just think we're going to see more and more instances of this. We're going to have more of these, not less of these incidents.
The Electoral Commission knew about this ages ago. How can we trust our government and its offices?
On face value, it sounds terrible, because the Electoral Commission had people accessing their systems from August 2021, and that was continuing until October 2022. So they've known about this for an awfully long time, and they've only just come to tell us, which means we're all very, very annoyed and upset that they hadn't told us sooner. But I would believe the reason would be they were trying to work out what they were doing when they were accessing the data. And if they'd gone public and said this breach had happened, the organisation or country or whoever sniffing around in all the records would have been alerted to the fact that they knew they were there.
What can people do to keep their information safe?
The real challenge here is, in the old days, I'd appear in places like radio stations and on podcasts and say, here's some top tips to keep your data safe. But in both of these examples, there's absolutely nothing those involved could have done, because it's a third party that's managed to share your information. So there are challenges to keeping yourself safe these days. One of the best bits of advice I can still give people is make sure that people aren't trying to use your personal details to take loans, etc. So looking at credit records and credit scores, you can get a service that can analyze that for you. But other than that, it's just about keeping an eye on where your personal information is being used and where it may appear. So if you start seeing unusual references, or you get a letter or something through the post that you don't understand, that's when you've got to start thinking that some of your personal information may have been intercepted somewhere.
And what can you do if you notice things are amiss?
It's really tricky. You need to alert your bank if it's your bank details that have been compromised, because you can get credit cards and other bits of information changed from that perspective. And it's just a case of reporting something like this to the police. But the biggest challenge, and the harsh reality of this, is there are so many cases of this now, and they're coming from outside the UK. There is actually very little that can be done. But what you have to do is just keep across this, talk to your bank, make sure that nobody gets unauthorized access to your funds, and then, like I said, keep an eye on your credit score through one of the online services, and there's a number of free ones you can get just to see if anybody's trying to take credit or anything in your name.
You may find the world of crypto confusing. It's often hard to tell which coin is which and what the financial principle behind it is. Now, there's a new type of crypto, and it's promising a different kind of security. Famously, with cryptocurrency, you need to have your password to access your funds, and if you lose or misplace your password, then your funds are irretrievable. But now the CEO of OpenAI is introducing a new form of ID for his cryptocurrency WorldCoin, and that's your eye. He's really using the eye in AI. Anyway, Ricardo Massiera is the World Regional Manager for WorldCoin, and he explains how this is all meant to work.
In WorldCoin, we are on this mission of building the biggest financial and identity community that we can. So we really believe that this primitive will allow for a lot of use cases, from decentralized voting, from access to platforms, to redeem coupons, for example. Imagine a big coffee company in Berlin wants to hand out a cappuccino to everyone in Berlin, but they just want to hand out one cappuccino, not 20, so that people don't abuse the system. Right now, technologically, this is very hard to do.
The principle is that your eye is unique, and it allows anyone anywhere to verify their identity, but it also comes with huge data issues. And in some of the trials markets, including Kenya, where 400,000 people have signed up, there are big questions about how their data is managed. Its activities have been suspended now in Kenya, and as it's a German company, the Bavarian State Office for Data Protection has begun an inquiry. Michael Will is heading the investigation.
This means that we will look whether the system is stable and is safe, and we look at a system which is deemed to transfer money. And so, again, it requires very, very ambitious security measures and lots of explanations and transparency to ensure the data protection requirements are not neglected at the end.
This has been the Sunday 7. However you're listening, do us a favour and hit the follow button. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. with a regular Smart 7 Ireland edition. Have a great rest of the weekend. Written, produced and published by Daph Doris.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Kira from the Smart 7 Ireland edition. Just to let you know, we're pausing this podcast from Friday the 25th of August, but you can still get up to speed in just 7 minutes if you search the Smart 7 and catch up with our UK edition. Thanks for listening.